Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G, and I'm joined by Agent underscore 70.
What's up, what's up?
And he was absent last week, but he's here this week, PCN underscore Dirt. Or just Dirt, as is displayed on his screen.
Oh, yeah, I didn't put my Twitter handle on there. Sorry.
You're free to put whatever you feel like on there. We don't, there's no constrictions on the show. And Classic Material will be joining us, hopefully, later on, as soon as his internet decides to cooperate with him. He's having some problems with, who is it? His Fios. Yeah,
you know, I'm really curious. He said he was getting a haircut, and I want to see if he got that kid and play high top fade thing going on.
He actually has to have hair first for that to happen.
Well, he can grow it, at least the back part of it, grow it up tall, and just leave the front part. You know.
But for now, we are your panel of comic book experts for tonight. Make sure to go to the website, as you see on the screen right now, theclicknation.com. Follow the individual Twitter account, at theclicknation, along with my personal one, at timdoggg98. Agent 70s is at agent underscore 70. Dirts is at PCN underscore dirt. And his website is popculturenetwork.com. Let's see, we've got the Facebook page to like, facebook.com/theclicknation, youtube.com/theclicknation. We're on Google Plus, and we have a Google Plus page that you can circle. That's just search for, the page, just search for The Click Nation, and the community is The Click Nation Community. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for D-Click Nation. And if you ever have some feedback to be read on a future show, send that on over to dclicknation@gmail.com. So with all that silliness out the way, we're going to talk about some news. And I have stuff jotted down, but first we want to hit, we'll let Dirt talk about what we were discussing before the show started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now we're on 60 minutes, right?
Pull it back up then. Just one thing I was, we were talking before the show. We do like a little prep for all you people at home that want to know. We don't just like dive headfirst into it, then figure out what we're doing. We actually do spend, a good 2 to 3 minutes, kind of going over this ahead of time. So one of the things I was talking about was since – I not only do reviews of stuff, but we also run a store. We get this retailer update newsletter from Marvel. And one of the interesting things I noticed is that Marvel is changing the ratings on a bunch of their books. And it says here that all new X-Men, Avengers, and FF and Indestructible Hulk are all switching from a T-plus rating to a straight T rating. Now, what that basically means is the T-plus is like PG-13 as opposed to T, which is your regular PG. So they're basically, I don't know if you want to say softening them a bit or making them a little more, all ages friendly type thing. They're just making them a little bit, easier to digest for younger audiences. But Superior Spider-Man is going the opposite direction. It had been rated T, and they're changing the rating to T+, so that it's going to be a little darker, a little edgier. Not sure exactly, why, but there's something going on there. Let's see. I'm trying to find the exact list. Superior Spider-Man starting with 13, I guess. They said it.
So that's coming up, next two issues, I think? Wait, 11 just came out to this week.
And it said that Superior Spider-Man 13 was originally a T. Now it's going to be rated T+. So maybe something big happens in that issue. I don't know, but that's something to keep in mind.
They did. I know they did tease that another semi-status quo change is going to take place right after Otto finally banishing Peter's consciousness out of the body. Something else supposed to happen, and he's going to get another new costume. So maybe that's when the rating changes.
Maybe he just starts getting more violent. Maybe he becomes the Punisher Spider-Man. I don't know.
Slasher Superior Spider-Man.
If they put a big skull on his chest with the Spider-Man legs sticking out from it, that'd be really cool.
Look like a beetle. A big beetle.
Is that Ringo or?
Anyway. It would be Paul McCartney. Isn't he the famous Beatle?
Him or Lennon, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think John Lennon might be considered the more famous Beatle because of his martyrdom to the music community. But, whatever.
I'll take y'all's words for it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge. I was more of a Monkees fan than the Beatles.
I did listen to the Monkees. I had their cassette tape.
Really?
I grew up on the TV show, so
yeah,
no comment. No comment.
You're talking to us older gentlemen here.
It's blasphemy, I tell you.
You young kids and your punk music.
Yeah, me and Dirt when the Monkees age.
All right.
Let's see. First up for news, DC announced Villains Month, and Forever Evil. It's a crossover miniseries that's going to be starting in September. So,
did you see any details on that other than the fact that it is?
I have a link that I'm going to read some of the stuff from. Let me get it open here. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I had sort of this. There's a movie trailer distracting me right now on my TV.
Well, turn it
during
off.
The NBA playoffs. No, it's some Matt Damon movie. What is this? Jodie Foster. Show the name. Oh, Elysium?
Yeah, Elysium.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Okay, so DC's Villain Month. So originally, Villains Month had already been teased anyway, so it wasn't too much new news regarding that. But the Forever Evil is the newest bit of news, as I keep saying news now. Let's see, the villains take over DC Comics in September for Special Villains Month. And so basically every book, like Justice League or Green Lantern, they are Batman, instead of being focused on those characters for the month of September, a certain villain or villains will take over the book for that month. And some books will have more than one. Like, they're basically using Marvel's 0.1 format. Mm-hmm. So, like, there'll be Justice League 23.1 or 23.2, because some books will have more than one book out that month, depending on how many villains they want to promote.
Yeah, if you go to bleedingcool.com, I noticed that they had actually gone through the listings and found the books that are actually not going to get a book that month. Because in order for there to be you know, four Justice Leagues, then something else has to, you know, fall out of the thing. So they actually did all the investigation. They had a whole list. It was hard for me to follow, though, because I don't read all of the New 52. You know, I read about the New 26, maybe the New 28. But so they had actually, you know, gone through the listings and had, you know, what was disappearing. So there's a bunch of books that get no book that month.
Hmm. I wouldn't have known that they
those
had
those villains,
like,
you know, just, you know, depriving these books from being published.
Which is kind of a good thing in some of the cases, I would think.
I wouldn't have realized that they had to, like, take some books away so other books could have multiple issues that month. I would have just figured that everyone, they just added on to what they'd already been shipping. But I guess you can't do that.
I guess not. I guess there's a rule.
Yeah, it must be a rule.
It's probably just a logistical thing. You know, there's only so many books they can afford to produce and have retailers order, right?
Yeah, that's true. If they said we're doing all of our regular books plus three more Batmans plus three more Justice Leagues, right, you know, whatever, then people would be freaking out. So it's probably a good move on their part as far as that goes.
I did see, also on Bleeding Cool last night, I saw J.H. Williams, who I guess is the writer for Batwoman. He was, I guess, it was a Twitter exchange that Bleeding Cool had screen capped of him basically telling someone how he had this 2-year plan story that he was going to do during his, and I guess a certain villain, I guess he was going to use during Villains Month, and DC editorial told him, nope, you can't do that story, and just sort of kicked him off, even just during the whole month. I guess he said they offered him a book, but he turned it down at the last minute.
Yeah, I guess two things to bring up here. First of all, does anybody read Batwoman?
Nope.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's probably part of the reason why.
But it's the Bat book.
But having said that, one thing that I found so amusing in that exchange he had is that he said, you know, he had something in mind he wanted to do, and DC told him no, you know, whatever the idea was. They didn't like the idea. They didn't want to do it. And, of course, somebody responded to his Twitter, and they were like, how rude, how unprofessional of DC not to allow you to do. And it's like, come on. It's like, who owns the characters? Who's printing the books? You know, it's like, how rude. It's like, it's their sandbox. You're playing in their sandbox with their characters. You know, who is it? Paul Jenkins. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that kind of falls into that same category where it's just like, come on. You're dealing with other people's stuff here. And, you know, it's like he said he was working to something. He had some character he wanted to do, and DC said no. So he's just like, well, I'm not going to write whatever book they wanted me to do because I can't do my book. It's like, get over it, you know?
You get a lot of that with creative people. They, you know, don't squash my creativity, man.
Well, you know, I should have guessed there'd be some sort of drama on the guy who's doing Batwoman. You know what I mean? That'll be your next show on the CW.
Yeah, and already we got a tweet from @DorkGeekus. He says DC and Marvel bogart each other all the time. Like OMAC event was a rehashed Zero Tolerance with the sleeper cinemas. Now I kind of sort of remember Zero Tolerance from X-Men.
Yep. Event, with Bastion and
yeah, with
and
Bastion,
like all those Sentinels. Yeah.
Oh, Mac, I have no clue. That was a book, wasn't it? A DC book.
Oh yeah. Well, it was like a crossover thing first, and then a special, and then it got its own series for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it got a second series with the New 52 that was completely different. But I don't know. I didn't read the Marvel version. I didn't read the X-Men stuff, so I couldn't tell you.
It's a long time ago. I can't remember it.
I just remember when Identity Crisis came out, and so that summer Marvel did Identity Disc, just kind of like a little flick in the face of DC, and it's like that stuff happens all the time. You just got to expect that, you know.
Yeah. So, let's see, a little more info about Villains Month, Villains Month and Forever Evil. Let's see, Forever Evil will launch during Villains Month. And it'll be a company-wide crossover, the first big crossover in the New 52, because Trinity War is just going to cross over into different books like Justice League, Justice League of America, and Justice League Dark. Forever Evil will actually be like a, you know, its own series, and which will be the first for the New 52. That's about the main info to take away from it. Because I want to read everything from this article. So, that is Villains Month. Oh, and Dirt is displaying an image. Yeah,
there's the Forever Evil promo art showing a bunch of the villains. So, I gotta say, I recognize most of the characters on there, but there's that icicle shooting lady at the top. I have no idea who that
Killer
is.
Killer Frost, probably.
And she female?
Yeah, it's Killer Frost.
Some female with a pink face mask there in the back, who I'm not sure who that is.
Cool.
Tiny, like, she's got bunny ears or something. Oh, I think she was in Legends of the Dark Knight, now that I think about it. I didn't read those issues, but I remember seeing that on there.
I love how Luthor's armor actually does look like knockoff Iron Man armor. It used to never look like that, but this one actually does. It looks like the Sean Chen armor.
It always kind of looked like that. No, it always kind of looked like that.
No, but this one actually looks like the Sean Chen armor. Remember from Heroes Return? The glowy edge armor? I'm just saying.
Hold on. Let's see.
Now you're going to Google that, the Heroes Return armor?
No, actually, I'm trying to look up something else here.
While he's looking that up, I'll find the next news article. Just real quickly, Carlos Pacheco will be joining Rick Remender on Captain America after he gets back out of Dimension Z.
I know you're happy about that, Tim.
Yeah, because I still haven't read Captain America 7, I think it was, from last week. It's still on my list. I'm trying to get through this week's books. Hey, and the comic book resources page that I had saved gives me a 404 error message now. Page cannot be found. Maybe Carlos Pacheco isn't going to be doing the art anymore. What is this that Dirt is showing us?
That's the Lex Luthor armor from Superpowers.
No, actually, this is from the Infinite Heroes line of action figures. This was a 4-inch figure that came out 4 years ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right, so but that doesn't look like a knockoff Iron Man armor. I'm just saying.
It kind of does.
You could have stolen some Stark tech. Luthor tech.
I'm just saying, this particular image, this particular promo image, if you look carefully at it, that actually does look like knockoff Iron Man armor. But anyway, moving on.
So, maybe Carlos Pacheco will be on Cap. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, noticeably, in the article, I read the same article in the article, Remender wanted to definitely go for a different look because, he had Romita Jr. on this book to do specifically the art for not that armor, from when they come back to the Marvel Universe proper.
Oh, Heroes Return.
Return, not Reborn. Whatchamacallit. He wanted a different look for Cap being in a storyline in like the Marvel Universe proper as opposed to Dimension Z. So he asked for Pacheco. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, and he's going to be using the villain Nuke, and there's some other villains mentioned in the article. I would read it to you, but the article isn't up there anymore, unless they changed the link.
It's a weapon. It's the Weapon Minus program.
Yeah, that's
right. That he's introducing, you know, as a countermeasure to the Weapon Plus program. You know, it's a logical progression. So, you know, it makes some sense. We'll see how Remender does it. It's my hope that he finally wraps up this Dimension Z stuff, because you probably heard in the tone of my review last week, it's taking its sweet time getting to where it's got to go.
And does anybody care?
It's going to take like 12 issues.
It hasn't been bad, but I keep thinking that, you know, this is definitely one of those stories that they could have done in like 6 issues or 5 issues, not 10. You know, it's just taking too long. Anyway. What do you got next?
All right. So Next is Marvel teasing its mighty team for Infinity. So during Infinity, while the Avengers are off fighting in space, that's when Thanos attacks, and a group of heroes form together to face this threat, and they tease the word mighty, you know, sort of teasing at the maybe a mighty Avengers team unit being formed, and Luke Cage will be, I guess, sort of like the figurehead of it. And each day this week, they've teased new different members. First it was Luke Cage, then Superior Spider-Man. Superior Spider-Man, then She-Hulk, and who was this guy?
The Blue Marvel.
Blue Marvel. Adam the Blue Marvel.
That's right.
And then today it was White Tiger and Power Man, the teenage Power Man from Shadowland, which I didn't read, but I know it was a teenage character. So surprisingly, no Iron Fist.
What? Wasn't he the first one that they announced?
That was Luke Cage, wasn't it? Hold on, I got the article open right here.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Yeah, Luke Cage was the first.
Okay.
Yeah, Luke Cage, Adam the Blue Marvel, Power Man, White Tiger, Superior Spider-Man, and She-Hulk.
Okay, did any of you guys actually do the Marvel AR thing in order to watch the little videos?
Mm-mm.
No, I played it once they showed it on in the article. They kept updating the article, I think, on Newsarama?
Yeah, Newsarama.
Newsarama has the article. Yeah, so they posted the videos.
Oh, okay. See, I just went through and did some screenshots and threw them up on the website.
Mm-hmm. Were they interesting?
They were not. it was basically...
They're going to be pretty bland.
Yeah, it was basically Tom... what's his name? Whatever. It's basically him just kind of standing there. Like, you could tell he's in the corner of the office at Marvel, and he's just like, today we have for you... two people. We've got She-Hulk, the other guy, and it was like a minute and a half long, but it was like 800 megabytes of space that it downloaded onto the tablet. Like, Marvel AR uses the most insane amount of data of anything I've ever seen.
It doesn't just play; it downloads.
5 will get you 10. They're taping it in HD for no reason.
Yeah, probably. I guess because
probably HD quality video for no reason. Oh yeah, right, for the Retina display, right?
Right, exactly. So you got to make it in full 1080p,
which eats up space.
That's right.
But it's just like I'm watching each one of these things, going, okay, this is like 30 seconds long, and it could have been 5. You know, they could have just been Blue Marvel and She-Hulk, and that was it, and I would have been happy, you know?
Let's see. Dork Geekus has some questions and statements. He says, I can't wait until Carlos Pease draws Captain America. He asks, isn't that armor, going back to Luthor, isn't that armor the action figure from Jeff Loeb's run of Batman and Superman? Anyone familiar with that?
They've used that armor, I mean, in slight variations many different times. I don't know about that one specifically, but the big blue and purple oversized Hulkbuster armor they've used quite a bit.
He also says, wasn't Nuke wrecked after Slott's Mighty Avengers run? Parentheses, I dug Slott's Avengers stuff. I tweeted back at him, but I also said I never read Avengers pre-Marvel Now, so not entirely sure.
What was the question?
Didn't Slott wreck Nuke during his Mighty Avengers run? When Dan Slott was riding Mighty Avengers.
I don't recall. I'm not sure what the status of Nuke is right now anyway.
And I'm not familiar with Cap.
I just remember him in Origins. I remember him in Wolverine Origins. But that's been a while.
One thing I just remembered that we didn't talk about with the DC Villains Month is that they are getting animated covers.
Yes, the 3D covers that if you go to like DC's website or their social media accounts, you can see the rotating covers.
Actually, I put them up on our website too.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, mercy.
I
so these books are going to cost like $5.99, right?
Oh, mercy. It's the 90s all over again.
Let's see. No, it'll be $3.99.
But then there's... Well, I guess they're still doing the slightly under 52 books anyway. Well, actually, they're double, they have more books, supposedly, because they're double shipping stuff like Marvel was doing.
I don't know. I kind of like them. I think it's kind of a neat idea. I mean, I guess we'll just have to see how it actually looks, you know, when it comes out, because supposedly it's full wraparound motion, so it's not just the cover, it's front and back is one big image.
Yeah, the background moves too.
Well, no, like the when you fold out the book, apparently it's the front and the back.
Oh. That, okay.
So it's not just one side, so I don't know. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Consider me nonplussed. I am nonplussed.
But if Marvel did it on the X-Men books, you'd think it's the greatest thing ever.
Wrong. I would be horrified.
I wouldn't like that either.
I would be horrified. That would get the gong.
I'm not trying to get vertigo from reading my comic books.
True enough.
Dork Geeka says, I think it's after Nuke cut off U.S. agent's arm and leg, he was shown battle damage in Parker's Thunderbolts. Okay. Next piece of news is Marvel Heroes, the video game launches this week. It's not available on Mac, so I won't be playing it. It's free, by the way. It's a PC game. So go play it if you have a PC.
Well, the new Animal Crossing comes out, so I won't be playing anything else.
In other video game news, the Marvel's Avengers Alliance game that's on Facebook will be coming to iOS devices June 13th, yeah. I think. So I might finally play it now.
Or get a real computer like the rest of us.
I'm trying to play games on Facebook because I don't like connecting my account to a bunch of stuff, even though I've done it.
Been there, now. Done that. It's enough. It's enough.
That's all I need, something else to all take right. up my
time. We
have
time. So little time to do what we need to do as it is. So, and other
read
stuff.
More books.
You got any more news? Go for it.
DC debuts new DC Square Digital initiatives.
Well, they're doing more digital two different things in one announcement. Yeah, I had to read through it a couple times before I realized that they're actually talking about two different things happening here. And the first one is they're going to start doing kind of like the Marvel Infinity style or what Mark Waid is doing at Thrillbent. They're going to start that with Batman 66. And so it's going to be the type of thing where you've got the image and then you tap it and something will change. Like the one they show is Batman falling off a roof. So it's like Riddler's looking at him. You tap him and he's starting to fall and Riddler says something and you tap it and he's falling farther and Riddler's finishing off his joke, you know, that type of stuff where it's going to do the swoops and the zooms and the, you know, whatever, like Marvel's Infinity comics or Infinite comics. But then the other thing is that they're going to be doing branching storylines. And so they're going to start doing stories where multiple things are happening at the same time. And when you tap, you're going to choose by looking at the page, and where you tap on the page will take you to that part of the story. So you'll see different things unfolding depending on how you actually tap through the story to get to the end of the story. And so that's a little different. So that's one of those things where you're going to have to kind of wait until it's actually out before you can really kind of gauge how it's going to work. You know, a couple of places are saying it's basically choose your own adventure, which kind of not really, though. It's not like you're going to change the outcome of the story necessarily, but the way you're going to see it happen will be different. And that's something that, you know, you can only do with digital. You can't do that any other way. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Sounds like the wrestling video games where you have to like choose what statement you want to use or which route you want to take.
Kane, I could beat you on any day. No, I don't want to use that one. I'll go to that. Kane, you and I should team up on this. Yeah, I
exactly.
Yeah,
it's like old school. It is kind of like those old school like NES RPGs. You know, it's like you say this and this happens. You know. Anyway, I'm more nonplussed by this news.
I like the idea of this better than Marvel's like soundscape Project Gamma thing where it's going to play music in the background. Because
you haven't heard anything about that since they announced it.
Yeah, they shut it off at C2E2. And that was, you know, you could go up, you could plug in the headphones and you could listen to it. And, you know, as you would change the page, the music would morph into something else. And I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, okay, it works, but the first thing I would do is not turn it on. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't see any reason why I would ever want this, you know, and it's not something that you have to use. You know, it's not going to be automatically playing in the background or anything. You're not, you know, forced to listen to it. You know, they're not going to have dialogue in it that you'll miss if you're, you know, not having it turned on. So, I mean, for now, it's just like an optional side thing where it's like, you know, okay, I guess there's an option for people who want it. But overall, it's like, I don't see myself ever using it.
You're never mind.
I was going to say, though, it's going to become...
I can't believe I freaking quoted Taylor's... Oh, my God.
I'm afraid, though.
Going to hell.
The whole Marvel-Disney venture that a whole bunch of, like, Disney radio superstars are going to start recording songs that are going to be in the backgrounds of these
well,
things.
Wasn't there something on one of the comic book news websites today about the Avengers and Spidey crossing over with, like, Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah, I saw that today.
It's already starting, Dirt.
I might read that.
No, I think it's a is it a comic book or a cartoon
crossover? It's a cartoon, I think.
It's a cartoon crossover, so you might watch that.
He'll watch that.
My kids do like Phineas and Ferb, so
there you go.
Probably watch. There
you go. So there's some news. There's some news. You got anything more, Tim?
Just the last bit of news was Paul Jenkins writing his love letter to fans about why he chose to never work at Marvel or DC again and go exclusively with Boom Studios. So basically he was... The ominous music is fitting because he basically was telling why he was disappointed with DC and basically how they're bullies to their creators. And Marvel isn't as bad, but they're not at perfect either, which we all know.
It kind of goes back to what I was saying a little while ago. It's that same type of idea where he complains about he had this Superman story. You know, they said, well, you know, would you be interested in doing Superman at some point? And he goes, Superman, the only way I could do a Superman story is if you have a villain come up and put a gun to the head of Ma and Pa Kent and say, you know, are you really faster than a speeding bullet? And then he blows their brains out. And so Ma and Pa Kent are murdered right in front of him. And how does he deal with that? And they said, no, that's not the type of story we want to tell. And then, you know, and then he's like, well, of course they wouldn't do it. They're a big corporate blah, 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 blah. I got to go somewhere where I have creative freedom. And it's like, I don't even know what he's talking about. It's like the only way you can tell a compelling story is by blowing someone's brains out. Like, you
that villain was Luthor, by the way.
You know, it's just kind of one of those. It's a shared universe. He says he set up stuff and then something happened in another comic. And so the editors were reworking, like they had to rework the script I had written because of something that happened in another book. And it's like, well, yeah, that's kind of what editors are supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He gave another example of, you know, he'd never be able to write a Flash book because he'd have Flash like amputate one of his legs and the story of him trying to recover from that.
Which sounds like the worst Flash story I've ever heard in my life.
It's like, yeah, I don't want to read a story where Flash can't run.
It reminds me of who wrote the story? I think it was JMS wrote the story of Superman, where he decides he's not going to use his powers. And he's just going to walk across the United States for a year. Yeah, and that story was so good that they decided to forget all about it for like half a year.
Oops.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just
yeah. I remember that something else he was saying was how he doesn't like to write stuff that has to deal with continuity. It's like that isn't that the whole?
That's kind of the problem, right?
Working with in a you know a place with
interconnected characters, right?
Yeah.
You have to weave through the continuity. People already complain about the book. There's no continuity in books as it is.
Like, I like a good continuity. Like, I don't want it to be too tight. Like, I don't want, like, Geoff Johns, I think, kind of overdid it in his Green Lantern books a little too much. But, you know, I do like it when things ripple from one book to another book to another book. I think that's, I always hate when, like, whenever Marvel would do something like Fear Itself or Siege or Secret Invasion, where all this stuff is going on this, like, massive worldwide scale, except for, like, Punisher, Daredevil, you know, in their regular books, there's nothing special happening, you know?
That's the problem with Age of Ultron.
Yeah, well, again, yeah, a book that has no ripples, it seems like. I like a good continuity. That's part of the whole soap opera of having good comics, and he doesn't want any of that. It's like, well, then I guess you shouldn't be working at Marvel and DC, because that's kind of the point.
Yeah, exactly. And Dork Geeka says, wonder if Jenkins would have wrote Avengers Arena if he had the chance.
Well, yeah, he's writing Deathmatch at Boom, which is basically the same thing. Bunch of superheroes pulled together, have to fight to the death.
Have any of you read that?
I read the first couple. The first book came out Christmas week, which was that slow week that only had, like, Justice League and something else. I forget. There were only, like, three or four books.
Spider-Man 700 came out. Spider-Man 700 came out that week.
Yeah, it was that and Justice League and Deathmatch, I think, were the only books that actually came out that week. So I read the first couple, and they were okay. It didn't really strike me as anything that I particularly cared about. You know, it was just kind of one of those things where nothing offended me by it. I didn't hate anything with it, but at the same time, there was nothing that was like, oh my gosh, I got to read the next issue. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was good, just wasn't great, you know, anything.
Okay. I bought the first one.
It's a on dollar.
Comixology. Yeah, it was a dollar on Comixology, so I bought that. I need to read it. I haven't gotten around to it. But it's supposed to be a limited series, I believe, so.
12 issues, I think.
So I guess after that's done, he'll maybe take a break or continue writing other stuff for Boom.
Well, one of the things they did when the first issue came out is they had posters that you could buy. Well, you couldn't buy. They were free. If you bought the book, you got this poster at your local comic shop, and it had brackets. So it looked like the March Madness tournament brackets.
Mm-hmm.
So it listed all the different characters, and you're supposed to go through and pick who you think. Except they're all Brand X characters that he made up for the story, so you don't know who any of these people are. So it's just kind of one of those things, like, what, you know, why am I going to predict the outcome when
it's almost like it's almost more like a scorecard?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it almost became a, you know, just keeping track of who gets whacked.
Like, I guess you're going to tape it up to your wall, and at the end of every issue, go, okay, this guy's out,
right?
This guy's out, but
right. You got any movie news, Tim?
Man of Steel trailer came out today.
I'm trying not to spoil myself anymore.
Comes out next week.
I'm done watching trailers for that. I'm just going to wait till the movie comes out.
Comes out next week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that and This Is the End I plan on trying to see.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's
so it. There's a couple of bits of casting news, or semi-casting. Yeah, basically casting news this week. I wanted to just mention. One is that Benicio del Toro, of all actors, has been cast in Guardians of the Galaxy and into a role that's going to set up for a series of Marvel movies. And I know Benicio del Toro. I did not really like his Oscar-winning performance in Traffic, but we all know him from The Usual Suspects. And that's what I'm going to see unless he is completely done up. With effects or makeup or whatever. I'm just going to see, what was this, Fenster? His name was? It was Fenster? That's what I'm going to see from The Usual Suspects on the screen. He's a phenomenal actor. I'm sure he's going to do a great job, but that's what I'm going to see when I see him up there. It's going to be funny. You know?
So who is he playing is the question.
Exactly.
Thanos.
That's definitely one theory. It's definitely one theory. You know, if anyone here has any legitimate theories, you know, you can throw them out there, or even illegitimate theories.
He's the new Invisible Woman. They just want to mess everybody up. That's all they're doing.
That's a good one. And a small bit of news. Hugh Jackman needs a pretty compelling reason to come back after appearing as Wolverine for, what was it, like seven times, you know, in these Fox movies. So, you know, if he's getting bored by it, that's fine. I'm sure compelling means a lot of dough.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, he needs compelling equals I need money.
That's right.
He wants some of that Robert Downey Jr. dollars.
Could you see someone else playing Wolverine?
Yes. Somebody shorter.
Why does that bother people?
The dude is 6'4".
So? As long as he does a good job of acting as Wolverine.
I spent way too many years... I spent way too many years reading people call him Runt, Squirt, Pipsqueak. It's ingrained.
So you want, like, Tom Cruise to be...
No, it's got to be somebody...
He's short.
A little bit, yeah, it's got to be someone a little bit more dense, you know, not dense.
That means you have to make sure he's super short, and then everyone else is way taller than him.
Yeah. Good luck in Hollywood.
I don't know. How tall is Ryback?
6'4"-ish. Feed me more.
Listen, you got to remember, The Rock is a legit 6'4". Like, legit 6'4". So, you know, when he's standing next to someone like Vin Diesel, who's only like 6 foot, you know, in like lifts, you know, they try to, you know, movie magic makes it look like they're roughly the same height, but they're far from it. You know,
Vin Diesel's short too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they just need to find someone who's just a little bit shorter. You know, they can't have a 6'4" Wolverine anymore. That's just, it's.
I kind of want them to, if they do recast it, to do the same thing that, you know, we talked about with Iron Man, is find somebody else. Like, go find somebody new. Like, don't bring me someone who had a role on ER. Don't find me someone who was on CSI for 3 years. You know, go do casting from coast to coast. Go to Australia. Go to Ireland. You know, find somebody who can do the right accent. And just bring me somebody I've never seen before so that when I look at them, they are that character. I don't want to see the guy from that other movie playing the character. I want to see someone else define the role.
Dork Geeka says Tyrion from Game of Thrones can play Wolverine then. He's short.
We're talking about the midget?
Isn't he going to be in Days of Future Past? Is that the guy?
We're talking about the midget? We're talking about the midget? Boo. There's no boo.
There's a gong.
Oh, yes, that's it. I gong that.
List for this week. We'll start with, let's see.
We switching to comics now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done with news. Nah.
Yeah, done with news. Anyone read any Boom Studio books this week? Suicide Risk number 2 came out. I might need to read that.
I've got it. I read the first one. I've got the second one to read. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we might have talked about the first part.
I liked the first one a lot. I thought the first one was great. Basically, it's a world where if you buy designer drugs, you basically get designer superpowers. And so people who tend to start out as heroes end up becoming villains, you know, because they just kind of get greedy and egotistical after a while. Mm-hmm. And the people who do stand up as heroes, because they're trying to hold true to these lofty goals, they end up losing most of the time because it's so much harder to be a good guy than a bad guy. So for the regular cops on the street, it's almost like this impossible world that they live in. How do you fight against supervillains if you're just a regular, you know, police officer? And so there's, you know, this guy who gets almost killed on the job, and he decides that, you know, screw it. He's going to go out, get some of this stuff, become superpowered, and he's going to show them how it's done. And he's going to make himself the biggest target on the planet, taking out all the bad guys.
That actually does sound interesting. I might try to read that.
Yeah, the first one was really good. It's one of those things I was going to sit down today, and I just didn't get a chance to get to it yet.
Okay. And I think Classic Light, Polarity, last whenever issue 2 came out originally. But I see number 3 is out this week.
And if he was here, he could talk about it. But yeah. Since that goofball's out chasing cars and barking at the moon,
he can't do it. And find internet. Let's see. Any dark horse anyone wants to bring up? I don't see anything that caught my eye this week from them. Right now, I'm just reading the Star Wars Brian Wood book from Dark Horse. I do want to read that some Captain something book comes out soon.
Captain Midnight?
Yeah, Captain Midnight sounded interesting.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because Captain Midnight is a public domain character, but somehow Dark Horse got the rights to the trademark of the name. So I'm not sure exactly how that works, but Captain Midnight has been appearing in a bunch of other comics for a couple of years. They've brought him back. Jay Piscopo is the writer and artist who's been doing it with, I think Moonstone is where he's been doing that, bringing back that character. And Jay Piscopo does a bunch of kind of throwback, you know, classic characters. And he does, you know, pull up, like I'm trying to think, Captain Eli is like this little kid who builds a sub. It's basically Johnny Quest type of thing. Mm-hmm. Goes down and he's done a whole bunch of these different characters, and he brought Captain Midnight back and did a couple stories with him. And now suddenly Dark Horse has the rights, the trademark to the name, even though the character is public domain. So now if like Jay Piscopo is going to use Captain Midnight, they have to call him the Captain. They can't call him Captain Midnight. You know, it's like one of those weird, I don't know exactly how trademarks and copyrights work, but it's one of those weird things that popped up. It'll be interesting to see how Dark Horse deals with the character, because from what I understand, they're trying to make it more of a modern, you know, darker feel to it, whereas he's always been kind of like that all ages type character before in the past.
Yeah, I guess I'm not used to Dark Horse having a like superhero-ish book.
They've got a whole bunch coming out. Blackout is another one of their new characters that he appeared in Dark Horse Presents is getting his own series. I think Dream Thief is from Dark Horse also, and that's the guy who he passes out, and when he wakes up, he's like committed murders or whatever. The dreams are taking over his body while he sleeps, and there's just like all sorts of different stuff. Someone mentioned that at C2E2 at a panel. They were like, why are you guys doing all this superhero stuff all of a sudden? And the guys at Dark Horse were like, it just kind of happened, you know? X relaunched recently. So their character from World's Greatest Heroes came back. And another one from World's Greatest Heroes, The Mighty, I think his name is. He's coming back in his own series. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of superhero stuff from Dark Horse.
It's the 90s all over again. We'll see, you know.
More stuff for me to read. Yeah. Let's see. So that's it for Dark Horse. So now DC. Action Comics number 21. Anyone?
Yeah. The return of Lex Luthor as the main public villain.
He hasn't already been the main public villain?
No, not really. He's kind of been maneuvering stuff in the background, but not really like...
Getting his hands dirty.
Right. And this one, he's trying to save everybody, but of course Superman like sees through it. They have the big knockout, drag out fight in the middle of the public, and now the public is kind of divided over which one of them is actually the villain. There's some people that think that Superman attacked Luthor for no reason, and some people that think Luthor deserved it. So it's, you know, one of those things we're going to see how it plays out.
Okay. I'll wait for Superman Unchained before I start reading Superman.
Although that's next week, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, because it comes out the same week as the movie. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. Ooh. That'll be the big four-page poster will be the image, the show image. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get that for like a... I need like a smaller version of it so I can make it my icon on Twitter.
Are you going to buy two copies so you can like rip out the fold out and put in a frame?
They're going to be like 52 different covers for it, right?
There's a lot. Yeah.
Just get something like that. Just like Justice League of America, one for every state.
Oh, God.
DC. For your folks. What is Amkami Girls? It's like I've seen that name before or seen a cover for it. Something about that name rings a bell in my head that sounded interesting.
It's it started as their digital only series and then moved into print. And it's basically like anime style of all the characters.
That's why, because Gray and Paul Miotti are running it, I guess.
And it started out, I think it was either a 4-issue or a 6-issue limited series originally, and then now it's an ongoing title where it comes out digitally first on like Fridays, I think, and then at the end of the month, the 4 stories are printed in one of these books.
I hope the art on the inside looks as good as the outside.
It's very similar, yeah.
I might try to find one of those then. Okay. Astro City number 1 also came out. And I know Astro City is some big time, big deal, but I've never read Astro City before.
So. Really? You're missing out, Tim. It's really good, and I like this issue. This is a candidate for my pick of the week, actually, because it was a very refreshing look back, because it has been quite a while since Astro City has seen published, because of the demise of the Wildstorm imprint, because that's where it was housed. When Wildstorm was taken over by DC, I don't think. Due to whatever agreements that Busiek had with Wildstorm, I don't think it went over as smoothly, you know, in terms of like the transfer. So that's why it's over at Vertigo now. And, it's kind of there's a note in the back of the book that says this is actually the 60th issue of Astro City. And what they want to do is make you want to go buy all the back issues, but you don't have to. You can just start reading it from here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do a pretty good job of, introducing the characters and what they're about. The art is always, impeccable. Brett Anderson is phenomenal. Alex Ross has fun doing these Astro City covers, and he chips in with the character design to boot with Kurt Busiek. It's kind of old superhero-y action, but it's still very, very fresh, because there might be archetypes, these characters. There might be, they might have analogs in the DC and Marvel universe. But, Busiek is really good at putting this particular Astro City universe together and telling good stories in it. So I definitely recommend this book as one of my picks of the week.
And we have Adam Black joining us on the show now.
Hello?
You may not be ready.
But,
so it's the inside cover for Astro City, the painted style, like the covers look.
I'm sorry? The inside story? No, the inside art is pen ink coloring.
Oh, okay.
It's not painted.
That's the only thing. Because the original Astro City, all the covers were like painted, right?
Yes, it's Alex Ross. Yeah, so
that's the only reason. That's the only reason I know of Astro City is the. Who's his name again? Alex Ross?
Yes, Alex Ross, the painter.
Alex Ross, him, yes, the painter.
All right. How about you, Dirt? Do you have a chance to read it?
No. I'm roughly familiar with the original series, but I never really got into it that deeply. But I'm not a big fan of Alex Ross, so I don't know. It's just one of those things where I guess I look at a lot of these type books where, like you said, it's a lot. There are analogs of a lot of these characters in mm-hmm. Marvel and DC, and I just kind of look at it like I'd rather read the Marvel and DC. Like I don't really see the need for reinventing the same characters in some sort of different universe. Unless there's a specific story there that needs to be told that can't be told with the original characters, which happens, from time to time.
Hello, Paul Jenkins. Right?
But, for the most part, there's a series going on right now called The Red 10, which, in fact, I think I've got a copy of it sitting right here. And in the Red 10, they basically took roughly using an Agatha Christie story of a murder mystery, and they're redoing it using superheroes. And so you've got a character called Red, who's basically a female Batman. You know, you've got Androidica, who is, you know, kind of a mix of Vision and Cyborg and, you know, whatever. You have, like, all these characters that kind of fit into the different Marvel and DC models, but it's an old-school murder mystery. And you can't do an old-school murder mystery with the regular DC and Marvel heroes because you can't kill them off, you know? So, like, in one of those type situations, you do have to create the analogs for them in order to move through the story. But I don't know, if I'm just reading regular superhero books, I'd rather read regular superhero books.
Well, believe me, you know, like when you have a, when you're living on a, well, when you have a tight comic budget, it, you know, I can definitely understand if you have, you know, X number of dollars to spend and you have the heroes that you've basically grown up and loved, the originals, and you have their analogs, what are you going to spend money on if you only have, you know, X number of dollars to spend? Believe me, I understand that. But I, you know, I recommend this
because... I've got all the money in the world. I got dollars out there.
I can definitely understand that. I mean, you know, but in terms of, you know, but just in terms of making that decision, well, which one comes home with you? So... you know, that makes sense. But at the same time, you know, I give Busiek and Anderson a lot of credit. They are masters at, you know, at their craft, and they tell very good stories, you know, and they're wonderfully illustrated. So I, you know, I'm putting my stamp of approval on that.
And Tim is asleep.
Oh no, Tim's not into Astro City either. So
I'm listening and trying to help my brother see if he can get where we can hear him or not. But let's see.
Do you have anything to chip in on Astro City?
It's probably the same thing as mine. Like when I hook up my headset, I have to like go into the settings in Google Plus and tell it to use my headset and not speakers, which he has no speakers, so it wouldn't hear anything. Or he doesn't have a mic, I should say. Mm. It's his PC. Batwing 21, I haven't read yet, but I will.
Nope. Yeah, I read that one. How was it? It was actually pretty good. This one kind of wrapped up. They did this incredibly silly story where he went to Africa and he had to fight this guy who was like half lion, half human. And it was, you know, whatever. It was what it was. But they kind of wrapped it up and he goes back and you got a bigger look into his father, Lucius Fox. And the whole like family dynamic of Lucius Jr. or Luke, I guess he goes by, and like his sister, who his parents absolutely love, and then they don't really like him because he's this MMA fighter who's out wandering around the world, you know, living this lifestyle and doesn't have any roots, and you know he's not working on a PhD, and his dad, you know, like has all these multiple degrees and everything like that.
Perish the thought, he's not working on his PhD. So I guess at some point he's got his master's. Oh my god! Like oh my god! What an underachiever!
Yeah, exactly. He's not living up to his potential. But of course, his dad doesn't know that he's, you know, actually a superhero now. So his dad's like, you know, you're always wandering off and whatever. And, you know, you've got that whole kind of dynamic going to it. But at the same time, he, I guess he makes some sort of mistake in Africa and they find out who he is. So the end of the book finishes with him sitting at his parents' home and he's talking on the phone. And there's like this army of creatures like crawling all over the house, getting ready to attack where him and his whole family is. So gave a nice little cliffhanger there at the end. And it's one of those things where like, okay, this, now I want to read the next issue. You know, they did a really good setup as far as that story goes.
Nice.
I'll get around to reading that, I guess. That's good.
Yeah, I'll probably by tomorrow or Saturday, I'll have read it. Let's see. Detective Comics 21. That, the villain of that is the, is it the female ventriloquist in that?
No, this is the Shadow Assassin. That's the Bruce Wayne's old girlfriend from Detective Comic Zero, I think is where you last saw her, where she's learning to be an assassin, too, and her final mission is supposedly to kill Bruce, and She fails and commits suicide, as far as Bruce knows. So Bruce thinks that she's dead, comes back to Gotham. And now years later, she's honed her skills and she's trying to finish the job or, you know, whatever. I don't know. But the problem is this whole story is it centers around Harper Row, who is that Linkin Park groupie reject that they keep throwing into a bunch of these Batman comics.
She had just been in Batman with Snyder, but since that's going back in time, I guess other Batman writers get a chance to write her now.
You just shamed Linkin Park by throwing them into that description.
Where's Linkin Park part come in? Because he has purple hair.
Well, she's like, she's got like the nose ring and she's got the stud on the side.
Yeah,
of
what
her
does
face.
That mean? What does that mean? How does that equate to Linkin Park? But anyway,
it's that whole bad emo whatever. But anyway, because that's all she does is sit there and whine about her life and whine about her dad and whine about her brother, and her brother whines about their dad and the brother whines about their life, and all they do is just whine and complain and emo it out. And it's like, I hate this character. And every time she's in a book, I'm just like, I'm ready to
is that her in the bottom part, bottom right hand corner head? Is that her head?
Yeah, that's her hiding back there.
Okay. I just noticed that.
But they have her in some sort of jumpsuit, which I don't think she actually wears at any time in this issue.
Oh. She did wear it in Batman last time we saw her.
Yeah, and Batman confiscated all of her gear at the end of that issue, and he gives it back to her at the end of this one. But he still tells her that, you know, she shouldn't be doing this. She's going to wind up dead, and she needs to give it up and blah, 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 whatever.
Is Batman still angry with his son's death?
He's nonplussed, but he's not like punching the walls or breaking mirrors or any of that stuff anymore.
And today's vocabulary word is nonplussed.
He's not plussed.
He's not happy, happy, joy, joy right now. He's very nonplussed.
Let's see.
That's what I get for using it like twice in like 3 minutes, right?
Earth 2, number 13.
Did not read it.
Okay. I was waiting to see if you were... Okay, there. I was waiting for the click over of the image for you.
I'll say this. I'm so intrigued by the idea of Earth 2, and I want to like it and get into it. And they had the annual that just came out couple weeks ago, I think it was, and I sat down to read the annual because the new Batman of Earth 2 appears in the annual, and I guess the new Wonder Woman appears in the final page. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll give it a chance. Maybe now will be my jumping on point. And I couldn't even make it through the whole issue. Like, there's just something about it that's just wrong and bad. And
you couldn't get through the whole issue of the annual or this
of the annual.
Oh, okay.
Which leads into this issue. It's just
I haven't read it yet, the annual.
I got about halfway through the annual and I just gave up. I didn't care about the characters. I just couldn't like get into it. So I just stopped reading it halfway through. Just stopped. Moved on to something else.
Okay. What else we got here? You there, Adam Black? Still not there? Okay. Green Arrow 21. Haven't read it yet.
It's in my to-read pile. I just haven't read it yet.
Not here.
I like the new direction in general of the book. I like the artwork. I like the writing, but, you know, it's like with Suicide Risk. I was trimming hedges today. I just didn't get a chance to read everything.
Yeah. But it will be read. So that was a book I was going to mention last week that I finally read, and it came up last week, and I was like, I'll read it over the weekend, which I did, but now I can't remember what it was. Oh, well. It happens. Green Lantern, number 21. I'm waiting on my signed copy from Robert Venditti to arrive in the mail.
Well, you got a review copy, though.
Yeah, I've already read it. I'm just also waiting for my signed copy.
Yeah, I read it, too. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked the art. I liked the sort of starring that in the... a little in the future and then going back and seeing what happened and the little short teaser for what's to come at the end. And in an interview I read somewhere, Robert Venditti said that the little teaser image at the end, all that stuff's supposed to happen by October.
One of the things I liked about the story is this is a jumping on point issue. This is one of those things where if you have not been reading Green Lantern, now's the time to, you know, pick it up. And one of the things that this story does is it brings in a bunch of new recruits. So I kind of get this feeling like they're going to use those recruits as a way to bring you as a new reader into the Green Lantern universe.
Absolutely. It's a new point of view.
Yeah. And it worked, you know, as far as I was concerned, I thought the story was really laid out well. And I liked that he broke up with his girlfriend. So you kind of have this like break from that part of the storyline moving forward. You know that that's over and there's a new chapter starting and you've got these new characters who they're going to be asking questions and trying to figure things out. And as they get their answers, you as the reader get answers. And like everything about it just felt right. Like this is how, you know, wrapping up the old story and starting with the fresh new story, this is how it's supposed to go. And I enjoyed it.
I liked it too. You know, at least from a new reader perspective. Now, I'm not technically a new reader to the Green Lantern, you know, the Geoff Johns era of Green Lantern. But, you know, as a casual reader, I could definitely appreciate, you know, like the fresh start that this gives. In terms of, you know, the one, I guess, you know, nitpicky thing I had with it, it was kind of weird just to see the Orange Lantern just pop up. You know, just out of nowhere. It's like, here we are. We're here to steal. I'm like, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of awkward. That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Especially since he has his own book now. But I guess that just because he has his own book doesn't make him a hero.
Well, and I think it's one of those things where they wanted to establish him in here so that when his own named book comes out, there are people that will go, oh, yeah, I just saw that character. As opposed to it being, oh, yeah, that random guy who once appeared in the books a couple months ago, you know, whatever, like...
just to keep them like fresh, right in people's minds. I understand that, but just in terms of this story, it just seemed very, you know, not that, you know, any villain coming in, you know, at a jumping on point coming in won't be somewhat random, but, you know,
well, and they do mention the fact that the Guardians have all been shunted and these new Guardians who were frozen in the past have been, you know, brought back to take their place. And, most of the Green Lantern Corps has been decimated, so their numbers are real low. So, I mean, they make it clear that they're kind of at a very weak point right now. So if someone is going to attack, this is the time to do it, and someone does. So, I mean, they did set up for it.
Right.
And there's something else I was going to say. Oh, about the... what was I going to say? I want to say it was something about those four new recruits... I'm trying to multitask here.
The guys who show up on the last page.
But let's see.
There's a squid-headed lady. There's a guy who looks like one of those gray aliens. There's some little hedgehog-looking dude, and then there's a orange alien antenna head guy. There you go.
Right, Adam Black says, by the way, Earth 2 is one of my favorite DC books. The story of the new heroes on this planet has me interested.
Really? Oh, good for him. I'm glad somebody likes that out there.
Yeah, there's got to be one.
Are you there now?
Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, then.
He said he had it. Probably doesn't, because I was about to kick him out since he... can't speak. Movement number 2 came out, which I didn't read because I didn't like the first issue, but I'm bringing it up only because another Wildstorm character made an appearance at the very end of it. Spoilers alert for people that care. Rainmaker from Gen 13 was shown at the end.
Rainmaker. Refresh my memory.
She was the lesbian. Well, she might have been either lesbian or bi on Gen 13. She was the Indian or Native American woman.
Okay.
She has a...
I guess the only one I remember is Fairchild.
Elemental powers.
Okay. I remember Fairchild, obviously, because she was the cover girl for a lot of the series. So.
So you said Rainmaker. I thought it was going to be like, you know, a rapper with dollar bills throwing them all over the place.
You know. That is a good... If we can use that name, except use it for a character that's like that. Actually, that gives me an idea for something else I've been kind of secretly working on. I'm gonna save that thought.
Are you secretly working on your own comic?
Well, trying to. Yes, that Rainmaker sequence that you just described sort of ties into my character, so that's great. Thank you.
Well, don't call it Captain Midnight.
But that's a public figure. Everyone can use it, right?
Yeah, well, you can't call him that. Can't call him that, but you can have him.
I have a name that people probably aren't going to like, but I'm going to use it anyway. And back to DC.
Swamp Legends Thing. Of the Dark Knight, anybody?
Who?
Legends of the Dark Knight, anybody?
Oh, that is Bueller. On there.
Bueller.
Is that a new book?
It's on LODK #9. It's on the list.
It's the digital first stories being printed and
okay. Stormwatch. Yeah, another DC. They're still making Stormwatch? Jeez.
Yeah, I was gonna skip Stormwatch. That Stormwatch kind of just got rebooted in a way, or they got a new creative team and they did a bunch of new stuff to it. I know a month or so ago.
You know, when they brought it into the New 52, I bought the first like three issues and thought
Jim Starlin's writing this. Oh my god!
Yeah, that's the new creative person.
I could not get into this book at all.
Oh my god!
I haven't actually tried Stormwatch in the New 52, so
okay, none of us have read this. Now I'm just getting, you know, like I'm trying to follow along the comic list, right? And the last DC book is Trinity of Sin, The Phantom Stranger. Could they come up with a more unwieldy title?
Well, that's because of the whole Trinity War coming.
My goodness gracious.
Phantom Stranger. There's going to be Trinity of Sin, whoever that third person is. Pandora. Well, that's this book, isn't it? Oh, that's Phantom Stranger. Okay.
Yeah.
Phantom Stranger is Judas. Pandora is getting a book, and I forget who the third character is.
I was going to say Constantine, but that's not right. The Question, right?
Yeah, but I forget who he is. Like, the Phantom Stranger is Judas from the Bible. That's who he is. He becomes the Phantom Stranger. I'm trying to forget all three of them were Pandora's, you know, Pandora's box, but I forget who that third character is who's... The new question of the New 52. I forget who the character from mythology is.
You got me. I ain't Googling it. I don't care enough.
All right. I think that does it for DC.
Yay.
Any Dynamite? Black Bat #2, that came out this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you read Black Bat #1?
Nope.
Yes, I did. That's the blind person, right?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Yeah, I did read the first issue. But I haven't read this one, so I can't really say anything. The first issue was fine. I had no quarrels with it.
I think this character is fully in the public domain, too. Anybody can make a story out of this one.
Yeah, Dynamite's been doing that with a lot of the old 40s characters, bringing them back and giving them books, because it seemed to work for Green Hornet for a while, so they decided to go back and grab some other characters and try to reinvent them, and now they have, like, Miss Fury and, The Spider.
Right.
Is one of them. But, I mean, I don't know. For the most part with Dynamite, the only Dynamite book I ever got into was Voltron, and then beyond that, I'm just not much of a Dynamite person.
Do they still have Voltron?
Voltron just wrapped up. It was 12 issues.
Okay. So skipping Dynamite, IDW had some stuff. None of it I read. Let's see, Lock and Key. Lock and Key Omega #5.
Nope.
I always say I hear things, good things online about the book, about Lock and Key, previous books.
I read the first series of Lock and Key. Like, they've done this as a whole bunch of different, you know, 5-issue, 6-issue series, a couple one shots, whatever. The first series was pretty good, but it ended kind of goofy. It was one of those things where somebody ancient and old came back as like a teenager in the final issue, become friends with the people who lived in this house, whatever. And that's how it ends, kind of, you know, dun, dun, dun. And it's one of those things where I always thought that someday when I've got like a long train ride or something, I'll throw a whole bunch of them on the tablet and read through them. Just haven't really gotten around to it.
I was about to say, I'm always forgetting. Oh, I asked earlier this week, I sent out a tweet saying, like, you know, hey, what are anyone read Lock and Key? What are your thoughts? And I actually got responses. It was positive. So apparently people are out there searching Lock and Key.
One book from IDW that I bought this week is Haunted Horror. And this series, I love this series. They find old pre-Comics Code horror comics, and they're reprinting them. So these are a lot of the stuff from the 40s.
Is it EC stuff?
I don't know. Cause
it's similar to it. It looks like it.
Yeah, they strip out a lot of... They have like their own little narrating character. And so they've stripped out a lot of that type of stuff. I don't know if any of these are actually from EC. None of them have the Crypt Keeper or those characters in them, but they are all those types of stories. I think they may have all been like competitors in the marketplace or some of the second features or whatever, but it'll tell you down at the bottom, like this came, like one of these stories came from Horrific Number 6, July 1953. Web of Evil Number 8, November 1953. Fantastic Fears Number 7, May, June 1954. So these are all just these old pulp horror books. And I have to say, a lot of these stories, you know, they've held up pretty well. So that book's a lot of fun. I enjoy
that. That's cool. I'm glad you put something in that's like the non-superhero variety.
Another thing that came out from IDW is the new Color Classics issue. IDW's been reprinting the old Eastman and Laird Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from Mirage, and they're recoloring them. So they're going back and, in effect, remastering them, if you will, giving them all new colors and reprinting them. So it's nice a lot of times to see, you know, some of these old books that I grew up with that were only colorized when they printed them in the big oversized volumes years ago. But it's nice to see them done now with, you know, modern colors and some of the modern techniques.
So that on old stories, you said?
For the Color Classics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are the old classic stories from back in the 80s.
Okay. Dork Geekus said, the other Gen 13 members got the crap treatment in the new 52 so far. I don't have high hopes now. Yep, I don't either.
Yeah, but they're Gen 13. Who cares?
Hey. I like my original Wildstorm characters, even though they're not really being used or treated in a manner. Let's see.
I'm telling you, Hellspont is going to be one of the big villains in this.
But he's already been used.
Yeah, but they're going to reintroduce him into the new 52.
He's in the new 52.
So has he?
Yeah, he was in the Superman book. He was a Superman villain in the beginning.
Well, it shows you how much attention I've been paying to the new 52.
Yeah, he's already come and gone.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, maybe he's coming back.
They teased him for a little bit, and then they fought, and then Superman beat the crap out of him, and then he's gone.
Really?
Yep. Wow.
Let's see. Image had some books out that, unfortunately, I haven't read yet. Said it was Bedlam 7, East of West number 3, more Hickman mumbo jumbo. Which there was some of that in the Marvel variety, which I actually did read and I didn't like.
That was weird. When we get to that, that was I definitely agree with you on that one.
Like Invincible Universe, which I like, number 3, Todd Knock art.
Did you read this issue yet?
I haven't read it yet.
Okay,
which one?
Invincible Universe number 3.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay. I
will.
I liked the first two issues of Invincible Universe. This particular issue, I didn't care for at all. It's a standalone story.
Does it focus on that guy on the cover?
Yeah, El Chupacabra.
Yeah.
And it's one of those like one and done stories with him. And it's, I don't know how much of it I should actually spoil or anything like that. If you're worried about that, but
spoil it.
No, actually.
Since okay. Don't spoil it for
Tim. Don't spoil it for me. This is one of the few, you know, books I like.
Yeah. I was going to say, I liked the first two issues a lot, but this one, it's like, I got to the end of this issue and I very easily could have not have read this issue and it wouldn't have made any difference. So
Adam Black, he was having issues. He's coming in the event I created on Google+. Going back to the Turtles, he says, I wasn't sure about rereading the classic Turtles in comic book form. I think I'd save up for the trades from IDW. That's an idea.
A thought. Yeah.
And he says, where's the justice for Gen 13?
They got what they deserve.
And I didn't even know Grunge was in the New 52. Apparently he's like an agent of nowhere or something.
Real? Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what I read somewhere. They're like Caitlin Fairchild's in, well, she was in Ravagers, and now she's in Superboy, and Grunge is an agent of nowhere, and Rainmaker now has appeared in this book, in The Movement, which I don't like, and Lynch was on Team 7, I think, or, yeah, Team 7. So. But anyways, more Image 10 Grand number 2 came out, which I also will read. I read, maybe that's what I said I had read after the show, and I actually kind of liked it. It was fine.
10 Grand number 1 was okay. I had a tough time. I haven't, you know, like flipping through it. I had a tough time. The art in this one is significantly muddier. So, at some point I'll flip through it. But this was definitely a lot harder for me to get into. But, you know, that's not a complete review by any means. It's just, you know, the art in this one was a lot muddier. So
I want to say the guy that's drawing it is also drawing it, too. That may not be correct, but something, I want to say that's the case. So, yeah, I guess that's it for Image, unless someone else read, like, Son of Merlin, Savage Dragon and Spawn came out, Darkness.
No, Straczynski wrote 10 Grand. J.M. Straczynski.
Oh, okay.
Right, so he wrote it, and Temple Smith is doing the art, Ben Temple Smith.
Gotcha.
It's just that the art... I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I see you want to move on to something. Just real quick, you know, the art, you know, just was tonally a lot different, even though it's the same artist, it was just tonally a lot different. So, you know, it has to do with a change in setting. So, you know, maybe that's why it was just hard for me to follow. So, incomplete review on 10 Grand number 2. So, maybe we'll get to it next week.
The all new, what is that? The all new Secret Skull Kickers number 1.
Yeah, although this is actually like issue 2.
I tried reading the Savage Skull Kickers, I think it was, or whatever.
Well, it's one of those things where it's actually an ongoing series. So this is like number 22 of the series, but for the past like 5 issues or whatever, they've given it like there's an alternate cover that has like a different name and a number 1 on it. So you had like Uncanny Skull Kickers, you had the Savage Skull Kickers, you had whatever, and they're kind of releasing them. You know, the ideas they go alongside whatever the big Marvel book is, you know. But this as an ongoing series, I mean, this is a great series. If you haven't read Skull Kickers, go back to issue 1, start at the beginning, because this is one of those books where The art is beautiful. Each page looks, it almost looks like animation cells that have been frozen because the artwork is just so good. The colors are vibrant and brilliant. And then the story, it's the story, the way the story is told. If you can imagine a bunch of friends sitting around playing D&D, if you've ever done that with some of the dumb things that people say and the stupid decisions that they make, that's what this story feels like. It feels like a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people sitting around just having a good time, you know, just doing the stupid stuff. I'm going to chase after this guy. I'll just jump off the building and hope I land on something soft on the way down, you know.
And then he does, right?
Yeah, and then miraculously they do. Oh, there happens to be a cart full of hay, you know. but, I mean, there's just a lot of that, like, silly, goofy. It's not serious. You know, you can't take anything in it, you know, too literally and whatever. But it's just, it's a good time every time.
Dirt Geekus, I keep wanting to call him by his old Twitter name, but he's back at Dirt Geekus now. He says, I think Hickman's Image, Mumbo Jumbo, and his FF were readable when compared to his current Avengers. Yes, we will get to that.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. I have grievances with that. So yeah, that's it for Image. Marvel Comics Age of Ultron number 9. I'm going to be glad when this is over, what, in 2 weeks, I guess?
Yeah.
If it sticks with its 2 week scheduling, just get this thing out of my hair.
What kills me about this is that, you know, there's finally some kind of semblance of movement in the story, but it's taken 9 issues to get to this point. Why is it taking so long? This could have been done in 5 to 6 issues tops.
This should have been it should have been called Age of Pym, because Ultron is barely.
I just don't get it.
Involved in this whole event at all.
Would you buy a book called The Age of Pym? I mean, no. it's like Shakespeare called his play Julius Caesar because no one would go buy tickets to see Mark Antony, you know?
But I've never been an Avengers person anyway, so Age of Ultron didn't appeal to me either.
Has anything happened in this book of merit?
White Nick Fury appeared.
That's the only positive thing that's come out of the series.
And I say the only reason that happened is because Brian Hitch drew all this stuff 2 years ago.
The pre-Black Nick Fury in the MCU, right?
Yeah. Which is why like Luke Cage and Moon Knight were involved in the first half of this book, because Moon Knight had a book back then. And why I still understand why Ultron decimated the Earth, which caused like Wolverine to get to unveil this alternate uniform that's never been seen before with the hoodie on it.
It's an action figure, man. It's an action figure. But in all seriousness, you know, I'm going to continue to gripe on how long this has taken. You know, they could have done a lot of this, you know, like, oh yeah, it's really bad. Ultron wins. But they spent, 3 issues just getting moving onto the plot to try to, you know, make things right? Just to get to that? Are you kidding me?
And then it's like there's all this long discussion of, you know, going back in time and trying to change stuff is bad.
Right, and then in 2 panels or 3 panels in this book, we get some exposition on, well, this is why we shouldn't, you know, mess around with time. It's alive.
Oh, yeah, that whole Tony Stark
It's 3 panels. It's 3 panels that are going to basically set the stage for
every time we go back in time, it's a tear in time, and you can't tear it too much because it's a living organism.
Right. What happens when there's no time?
Yeah, what happens when you kill time?
So no, in all seriousness, that's all it is. We've gotten to this point, it's taken 9 issues to get to that point, which is going to set the stage for probably Infinity and probably all the other time travel BS. Well,
but I mean, is that what's going to happen in 10? Is that they kill time and the universe dies, and so Angela has to come as this agent of death or heaven or whatever in order to bring the universe back to life?
We'll see. You're probably not even that far off, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, if you think about Book 10 is completely drawn by Joe Quesada.
No, he's just doing part of it. It's an ensemble cast.
Oh, is he just doing the end part, though?
Yeah, he's just doing the Angela part, because it was such a big secret
Because I was going to say, that could explain the whole delay right there, is if Joe Quesada was drawing the whole book, maybe that's why it took 3 years.
Yeah, supposedly there's like 10 artists attached to this issue 10. Big clusterfuck.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because they said each one was only told their section, so nobody knows the whole story.
God.
Because something in the story is just so big that they didn't want anyone to know it so that nobody could spoil it.
I think even like Brian Hitch might draw a portion of it.
And the book is being shipped polybagged. So that it
really is it really?
Yep. They don't want it spoiled ahead of time. So I'm going to do everything in my power to try to spoil that book.
Jeez.
Yeah, send me a copy when you get it.
That's unbelievable.
Which reminds me, I've got books for next week I need to send you, by the way.
Ooh, you can do that after the show if you don't mind. unless you're going to be going straight to sleep.
I think I can manage.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I need to write my non-spoily review of it where I can trash it.
All right.
Let's see. So, yeah, that's out the way. All new X-Men number 12, which I almost wrote a review for. I need to write a review for something Marvel this week. So hopefully that'll happen.
What do you got on this, Tim?
I enjoyed it. The only negative I found with it was it seemed like Stuart Immonen's art didn't seem as crisp. I don't know if
because the faces are going like this. You know?
The art didn't look nice. I mean, the art was fine. It didn't look like previous issues, put it that way.
Hmm.
Something was off.
Well, I can tell you what I thought was off in the story, and it's this kind of an ongoing thing I've got with Bendis. You know, in this book we have the real first class of X-Men meeting the Uncanny Avengers. And one of the things, you know, I had real issues with throughout most of the story was I don't know what Bendis has against, like, Captain America's voice. Like, he always comes across as, like, this overbearing, jerk, he insists on writing him as being just this overbearing guy towards everyone. It's tiring. You know, Cap's been around the Marvel Universe for so long and developed relationships with so many of these characters, and it just comes off stiff, corny, annoying. You know, Cap's, usually more reasonable than what Bendis consistently writes him to be. It's just more convenient for Bendis to write him this way.
Did Bendis write Civil War?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, because that was the same thing.
Wait, Civil War? No, that was Mark Millar, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
I think you're right.
I think you're right.
That was part of the problem with Civil War, is that...
let's see.
It just gotten that way too preachy, I don't even want to go into it right now, but I was not a big fan of Civil War in general. I thought there was some neat concepts, but
Bendis wrote House of M, I believe, because he's credited with House of M, and then it skips to Secret Invasion. Yeah, Mark Millar.
Yeah, you're right. It's Millar.
Civil War. So
you're right. It's Millar.
There's that, which I need to go back and read.
Yeah. No, but what's funny about this is that it seems to be a trend where, we'll get to another book where I've got a similar gripe, because what the writers do is they make Cap come off as this big jerk, and they play off him as like a way to move the action along. And then he comes back at the end and he says, oh, okay, I'm back to being, kind of reasonable. You know, there's two books this week just like that.
See, Adam Black says on Age of Ultron has been the biggest letdown so far. I liked it in the beginning until they went to the future and Cap gets his fucking head blown off. Wolverine changes history and now Iron Man looks like RoboCop and Morgan Le Fay fucked all the shit up anyway. Only let Hank Pym live win.
I agree.
Let's talk some more about Age of Ultron. So
we're back.
Okay. Cap's head gets blown off. Black Panther died by like stumbling or something.
Right, he fell and broke his neck or something.
Yeah.
Jesus. For as much as he's given a couple of cool spins in some of these new X-Men books, he's definitely getting under my skin with some of the others.
Red Hulk punched, exploded, Taskmaster's body somehow.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the bad death. Oh, yeah. And Wolverine killed his other self in this one, off panel. Which was confusing. And I had to, like, read it twice.
But why did they have to do that?
I didn't understand what was happening.
Why'd they have to do that? If they both got there at the same time using different time machines, whatever.
Because you couldn't leave one in the past.
Oh, but they came on two different time machines. Oh, whatever. What happened?
Yeah,
but,
like, anyway, yeah, enough for this.
Whatever. I don't know.
Avengers 13. Hickman Mumbo Jumbo Avengers Variety. So this issue, okay.
Let's do this.
Time for me to quickly rant.
Go for
number
it.
Number one, I usually don't like stories involving the Savage Land because the Savage Land sucks. Except I have enjoyed Savage Wolverine. But yes, so involved. We had this two or three part story with the Savage Land, which I don't like. High Evolutionary, who I have no background with because I never read any books with him in it. Then it's like focusing on Hyperion, who I don't like, because number one, why is he on the Avengers? Because they act like they don't know anything about him.
He basically appeared out of thin air, literally. Yeah,
he appeared out of nowhere and it's like, okay, come be an Avenger. You and Captain Universe, who also is, and then I don't like these Superman-esque characters because I don't like Superman. These all-powerful people. They're lame. All that's wrapped up in this issue. And like Hyperion's trying to be like a father figure to these
the zebra creatures. Kids.
Yeah, the kids. Hyperion loved the kids.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm done.
Oh my goodness. Nah, there's so much more you could say about this.
I'm leaving some for you.
I'm kicking myself for it because I'm looking at my notes on Evernote and I'm like, I can't believe I didn't write anything about this. I think I was so incensed by what was going on. Tim, you've already mentioned a couple of these like kind of quirky bits on this particular version of the Avengers. You know, Captain Universe, Hyperion, like, what are they doing there? What's going on? They bring in Garrok, I forgot what his full title is, but Garrok,
the Watcher,
Undying, I think it is, or
he's the Watcher, which I thought that was Watus.
But he's a caretaker. He's an old character. He's been kind of portrayed as a caretaker of the Savage Land.
I thought they just like created him for this issue.
No. He definitely goes back a while. Like, there's a couple of great, he's connected to like Terminus and the Savage Land. This definitely harkens back to. There's a couple of cool, uncanny X-Men annuals. They can go back and read to him with Garrok, with this character. So,
but he's tied to the Savage Land, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so, I won't be checking him out.
That's a great annual, though. Dirt probably knows what I'm talking about. I think it was Art Adams doing the art, maybe, but he definitely did the cover. In any event, there's all sorts of ridiculousness going on in this. You know, the High Evolutionaries hiding behind a hologram, and they can't figure out what's going on. And the Iron Man on remote control armor in this gets all screwed up, and they're just like, "What do we do now?"
I love how like remote control armor gets like destroyed easily, but if there's a human in it, that can't happen.
That's right, but a bump.
Here's the thing: I didn't read Avengers for several issues. It was one of those things that was on my back burner, and it just kind of built up for a while. So, like last weekend, I sat down and I read, I think like 9, 10, 11, 12, like all in one shot. And the thing that got to me the most in Avengers is that there's too many things going on at one time where it's like you have one issue that deals with a bunch of characters and then the next issue that comes out deals with a completely different set of characters. Like suddenly in the middle of your storyline, you've got Black Widow and Cannonball and whoever else, and they're going to some AIM Island casino in order to find out about some weapons thing. And then the next issue, suddenly you've got Hawkeye and Spider-Girl teaching little kids how to climb rocks, and Thor throwing rocks and telling these little alien things to go follow them. And it's like, it's just jumping around from one group of characters to another group of characters to another. And it doesn't feel like it feels like there are three different Avengers books that have all been smashed into this book. Like they should be running in different titles concurrently instead of occupying this one slot every month.
I think you got that, you know, you got that nailed on the head because you had the benefit of reading it, you know, almost in trade form, you know, reading it in one shot. Whereas, you know, my memory is kind of spotty, you know, especially just as you described, Hickman's jumping from one story to another with the same, you know, rough group of Avengers. So we get what we get here is just, you know, a character study, almost a character study of Hyperion and describing him. You know, giving him motivation to a certain extent.
Which I guess you would have to do because nobody cares for him in the first place, right?
Right.
Get him out of here. let's see. Adam Black says, I gave up on Hickman's Avengers. I feel like I'm stupid reading it. I feel like I'm not in on the plot. Good explanation. And Rokika says... Hyperion loves the kids. Now JMS is going to write some creepy related story about this.
Oh, mercy.
I guess he's talking funny. About this a stone person from Savage Land. He was in the 90s X-Men cartoon. He fought Sauron and was a stone idol.
No, Garrock's been around since the 60s. He's you know, he goes back to like the first class of X-Men. When they first went to the Savage Land. So he's old school.
Avengers, I will say Avengers was good the first three issues when stuff actually was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, eh.
It's just like Dirt said, it's fallen into these, you know, myriad stories that he's going to weave together at some point. But it's, you know, right now the web is very loose and it's very hard to, you know, keep track of everything.
The problem is I just watched Arrested Development Season 4. And that thing, it's kind of like the same problem where it had all these different storylines going on at one time and you thought they were leading somewhere and you thought it was building up to something and then it gets to the end and it just stops.
There's no payoff?
No, no.
Wow. I'm not an Arrested Development fan. I'm disappointed to hear that.
I am.
I love the show. I love the original series. And when I haven't watched
the new stuff yet.
Yeah, apparently... they couldn't afford to pay all the actors to be in the same place at the same time. So they filmed a whole bunch of different segments so that you could kind of see how they connect later events in one would have fallout in a different character's, you know, story. But it was just so convoluted and everything's happening in all these different spots. And you thought it was all building up to this one night, but then nothing really happens. And it goes to the next day, and then it just ends.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually kind of sad.
No idea.
So I'm kind of afraid that Avengers...
That's where this is going?
Thing. Yeah. Nowhere.
I'm going to read, of course, through Infinity because, you know...
That's where this build-up is supposed to be
going. Yeah, so after Infinity, I better be impressed. I was impressed by some of the Avengers... solicit images that showed my man Stefano Caselli on art. Happy all about right. that. But back to this week's books. Cool. Okay, Avengers Arena number 10.
You guys read this?
I did. Because I heard there was all mad about it.
I was going to say, I heard there was some sort of controversy with it, but since I gave up on the book, I'm not sure exactly what's going on now.
Well, you know, the book involves killing characters.
Right, which is why I gave up after the first couple issues.
So, yep. Of course, a character is killed in it, and surprise, the internet is mad.
Yeah. See, I'm reading this, you know, for purely academic reasons, right? Academic review reasons, because we're doing this. Right. This gives me, you know, this gives me a reason to kind of keep up with books that I really don't want to read.
By that rationale, you should be reading Stormwatch.
Right. But I just don't care enough. Wow. I have to care something. I have to care, you know, and one iota as opposed to no iota. You know, and what's really interesting about this is the one of the key fan favorite characters that they introduced. You know, I mean that they put into this book to, you know, make people read. I think.
I guess when they were picking teenage characters that weren't being used, this character was one chosen.
Well, this is definitely one of the more recognizable ones. You have to agree.
And she actually, this person actually gets a kind of, not a gruesome death, but like bad stuff happens to this person.
So yeah. are we trying not to name this person? Is that why we keep saying this person? I already said
she, so it's the person
on
the
cover. Are we going to spoil it? Spoiler,
it's the person on the cover.
Spoiler alert.
And who is that on the cover?
Nico from Runaways. Nico from
Runaways.
So anytime you're killing a Runaways character, people are going to be mad because that's like some cult.
Runaways is good. You should read that,
Tim. I'm on issue like 6 or 7 of it.
It's good.
The first volume. And then, yeah, so, and there was apparently this big whole thing on Tumblr about it, people ranting and raving, and
I can definitely understand that.
So much
I was not happy about reading this because, as I said before, it's one of the, you know, it's one of the characters that I actually had any sort of interest in this, you know, in the story, to see her go out like this in such a silly kind of, I don't want to say throwaway book because that's not what they want to do here. But it's not in a Runaway story. It's not in a Runaway centric story. You know, this, you know, her biting the bullet. So it's really disappointing in that regard.
Dork Geekus brings up a good point. He says Nico's death did seem a bit gratuitous in comparison because everyone else got quick one-panel/page deaths, which was true. And then some people on Tumblr were saying, like, you know, she was one of the few strong female heroes out there for women to sort of, you know, look up to. And she, you know, got killed in this way, and she was fridged, quote unquote fridged, which apparently is a reference to Kyle Rayner
and his girlfriend. Mercy.
Basically saying, like, you know, the female gets killed and the boyfriend or male friend of the killed deceased person will probably end up getting mad and going out for revenge.
Yeah, the girl has to die so that the guy can get revenge.
Yeah, so there people are assuming that's what's going to happen with, and the male in question is her teammate from Runaways, Chase. So everyone's like, oh, you know, they saved the, you know, white American blonde hair.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that they went the racial route. The schism all going on.
Yeah. You know, first she's female and then, you know, the schism.
Right. Oh, my goodness. But, I mean, she's Asian, I think, too, so I should really be taking the front.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You see,
Hopeless?
You got to look
for reason to be mad. I am mad. I was already mad. Now I'm really mad.
See, now I'm less mad.
And then plus, you know, everyone's saying, like, you know, they're doing this so Chase can, you know, get his revenge and whatnot, but I'm pretty sure Chase probably gonna end up dead too. That's the point of the book,
right? Oh my goodness.
And yeah, we still think it's a virtual reality world no matter what.
I think so too.
Okay, so
yeah, I didn't think of it as gratuitous, but now that I think about it, you know, I didn't really compare it to the previous issues that way.
The first three pages were gratuitous to me. I was like, oh,
that's
okay.
That's true.
Cable and X-Force number 9. Probably one of the weaker issues for it this series. I know I'm one of the few people enjoying it because it's Cable and X-Force. Two things
well,
I like.
It didn't have either Cable or X-Force in it, and that was probably the hardest part to read. But yeah. here's that second book that I was referring to earlier that characterized Captain America as the stodgy old dude. And, you know, he kind of takes he's not nearly as tactful as he's been developed to be in some of his other books. And it falls to Havoc and Rogue to be more tactful with Hope. You know, but then at the end, you know, there's a bit of wonderful mind control. And at the end, you know, they kind of have Cap come off as a little bit more reasonable than they first play him off to be.
I'm getting tired of everyone appealing to hope. We're doing this for your own good. Yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, that's all I got to say for this issue.
Yeah.
Anyone read these Daredevil books?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, I will just say Daredevil End of Days, number 8, the final issue of that came out. So, for those that
it's
care.
It's time to catch up. It's time to, yeah, I was about to say, now that it's out, now that all 8 issues are out and the trade finally comes out, I might sit down and read that.
I do plan on reading Daredevil Dark Knights just because it's Lee Weeks doing it. Mm-hmm. So I at least have an interest in it. But, you know, it's going to be one of those back burner things. It may end up being like Avengers 9 where I get to it in 2 months, you know. But mm-hmm. It is one of those things that eventually I do plan on getting to.
What is that about?
Dark Daredevil. Knights. I don't know. It's Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
He's a guy. He's blind. And he's a lawyer.
I mean, the Dark Knights portion of it.
It's got to be like out of continuity stuff. Or maybe it's in continuity. I don't know. But
Well, it's called Dark Knights. So obviously, he meets Bruce Wayne, billionaire playboy.
Fearless Defender number 5. I haven't read it, but I will.
I skimmed it. It was okay. Well, yeah, it's not much of a review, but.
Are there a lot of co-stars in this one from the cover?
Yes. All the majority of the Marvel female heroes pop up as Misty Knight puts out the call, the Heroes for Hire call.
You know, I have to say that.
A whole bunch of, you know, heroes to show up.
I hear a couple people now and again say that they like the book, but I hear more people impressed by the covers than actually impressed by the comic itself.
Agreed.
Yeah. The book is fine. And, you know, I think everyone loves it because it's an all-female cast more than anything.
I think, it definitely gives a chance gives Marvel a chance to develop some stronger female leads. So more power to them in that regard.
My question is, how long will it last? I have a feeling it might not get a long run. Depend on sales.
That's right.
That would be a good book for Red She-Hulk to join since her title will be canceled.
Dude, I think you're probably right. I think she's definitely headed in this direction.
Iron Man number 11. Haven't read it yet.
I read it. Eh. What about you, Dirt?
I did not read it.
I like these covers, though.
I'm waiting to see what the end result of this particular story arc is. I tell you, if you recall, I was on the verge of booting this off my pull list, and it's held on by the hair on its chinny chin chin.
Is this the storyline where
secret origin of Tony Stark?
Yes,
like his dad and is like dealing with aliens.
Yes,
like little gray aliens with the big black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And he's dealing with this recorder robot
that went
back in time. Or has been connected to him since the very beginning and basically this issue kind of basically gives a reason for Tony Stark's advanced engineering skills. Other than just studying.
He's half alien, oh my God.
He's got enhancements. That's what they're saying.
It's a big deal. He's got
intelligence enhancing.
He had a piece of technology stuck in his chest. For God's sake, how's this making him any different?
I don't know.
Yeah. So enough of that.
It's did Reed Richards have an alien come and give Nathaniel Richards some extra stuff to make him smart? Come on now.
You know, with the way they're writing Fantastic Four nowadays, that's entirely possible.
Yeah, you never know.
I wouldn't know. I stopped reading those books. He was in another book I read this week, which I'll get to later.
Who, Franklin Richards?
Nathaniel Richards?
Reed Richards.
Oh, Reed Richards. Oh, okay.
There was a Kick-Ass 3, number 1.
I wanted to read that and have a chance.
Dirt?
I have not even read Kick-Ass number 2.
I haven't read Kick-Ass 1, 2, or 3.
Wow. I read the first series when it came out, and then I saw the movie, and then they said they were doing a second series, and I've just never gone back.
I understand the second series isn't terribly good, but I plan on reading that and then catching up.
Okay.
What you got?
Superior Spider-Man number 11 was fine.
I continue to hate read this book.
I like how they give...
I hate read this book, man.
I like how they give this artist, whose name I won't try to pronounce, they give him like the little side three-part stories and save all the juicy stuff for Stegman and Ramos.
Giuseppe Camuncoli.
It's not, no, the art is definitely within the new Spider-Man style that they're developing.
Yeah, no, there's no problem with that. It's just that this particular story just doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I like the art. I'm just saying, like, he gets this stuff where it's like he got the first three books he drew were the massacre stuff, and then now it's the stuff with Alistair Smythe, the Spider Slayer.
And here's the one thing I don't understand. It's okay. So Spider Slayer, he was captured. He was sentenced to die. They put him in jail. He's now biding his time, waiting for his execution. But they let him wear his helmet? Like, how? What? Like,
is it part of his power inhibitor?
You know,
they just show him like sitting in his cell, and he's wearing a prison jumpsuit, and he's flipping through the Bible because that's the only book he's allowed, and he's wearing his monster helmet with all these metal horns on it, like as if that's not somehow a security risk just by giving him sharp, pointy things. They don't do that to prisoners. You know what I mean? It's just I don't know. This particular story is just kind of.
It was very odd.
He has his own little robot things coming in to try to break him out and take his buddies and kind of give them their powers back. They're in the infirmary so that the Spider Slayers group can reform to escape and kill Spider-Man and yada, yada, yada.
Well, I mean, there was definitely, you know, a kind of a cool, you know, dueling scientists, you know, matching wits and contingency plans kind of thing. You know, you can almost hear like dueling banjos playing in the background. You know, like every time one would do something, you know, the other one would say, "I've already counteracted that particular plan." So you know that way of escaping. So to be honest, I think I said this last week. This was reminiscent of another Spectacular Spider-Man episode where Spidey's, you know, in Spectacular Spider-Man, he's stuck out on the raft, you know, with all the bad guys that he put in there recently. And you know, I wonder, you know, it's just all very reminiscent.
That sounds like a good episode. I need to watch that.
It's all on YouTube.
Oh, it is?
It is. Cool. It is. I mean, I own the DVD of the first season, but the second season's not out on DVD, you know, like in total. It is in like in small sections.
Yeah.
I like to own the whole thing. Right, exactly. I like to own the whole thing on set. So.
Is season 2 on Netflix?
It is.
Okay.
I believe so, but if not...
I don't have Netflix either, so it doesn't really matter.
Find that on YouTube, Tim.
YouTube it is.
Did you watch that, Dirt? Spectacular?
I don't believe so. When did that come out?
Been like 3 years now, right? Three,
four or five.
Four, yeah.
Four or five.
Was that the one that was on MTV?
No.
No.
After that.
Oh, okay.
This was...
CW, I think.
I forget.
I want to say CW, but it's definitely worth looking into. You know, it's kid-friendly, too.
Yeah, Spider-Man cartoons are a lot like Batman cartoons, where it's like, well, wait, which one was that? You know, right. It's like, because they have, it's like the series never goes off the air. They just change the art style and the voices every couple years, you know?
Right.
Yeah, the studio producing it and whatnot.
Yeah.
Right.
Adam Blatt says he has Kick-Ass 1, 2, and the Hit Girl trade, and I will eventually read all of them.
But he hasn't read any of them?
Probably not. We own a lot of stuff we haven't read, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Really? That's crazy.
That's how we roll. There's too much stuff out there. And also trying to keep up with current stuff. At least that's my issue. Thanos Rising number 3.
Oh, my goodness. Did you read this? Anybody read this?
Haven't read it yet.
All right, I'm not going to really spoil anything with this, or maybe I am.
No, go ahead. We don't care. But
I don't care.
Who cares? Thanos is a cosmic Wilt Chamberlain.
He's slaying women in the bed?
Hells to the yeah. He's just wait, knocking. He is knocking.
Say something dirt so I can see that image again.
So he's all like dala dala bala bala right now?
He is knocking boots all across the universe. But then he kills off all his hoes and his babies.
I was just going to ask how many illegitimate Thanos children are there running around?
I'm presuming that at some point he goes back and kills them all.
None, because he kills them all, apparently.
That's right.
So he's like a praying mantis.
Right. So, I mean, listen, seriously, whatever. That's all I got to say about this right now. I'm reading it. Not that I'm hate reading for this. Like I said, I end up reading a lot of these things out of purely an academic interest.
Although I have to say, now that you've explained the story in those terms, looking at this exact cover, the placement of the Marvel Now logo takes on a whole new meaning.
The reason I want to see the image, it looks like he has his arm over his women, over his hoes.
That's funny.
It's like he's holding them in goblets or in bowls or something.
That's comedy.
I don't even know.
That is comedy. But yeah, that's, you know, this is definitely an interesting read. We'll see where it goes. We all know where it goes eventually.
Hurry up and get through the last bit of this so we can end the show. Ultimate Comics, The Ultimates, number 25. I have not been reading anything Ultimates related, but I wanted to pick this up because I heard a bunch of stuff happens in it, and it's the Ultimates disassembled, and Dark Ultimates are formed, and there's Infinity Gauntlets.
I've been reading all of the Ultimate stuff for months, and this is the first issue because I went on vacation. I have not gotten around to reading this yet.
Okay.
And so
this afternoon during lunch,
I've heard a lot of good things about it, and it's like I've liked the Ultimate Universe for so long. So this is one of those things where I'm going to read it when I've got the time to sit down and not be interrupted by anything, and I'm going to give it the time it deserves.
All right.
I will say after reading this, I will keep reading it now.
I see
where it goes.
Yeah, I loved everything they've done with the Ultimate books in the last few years.
I used to complain about
the Ultimate. You mean post-flood or?
And, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man was the only thing I got into, and I got into that after Ultimatum. When they relaunched it with a new number one, it was still Peter Parker.
But they relaunched it
with a number one, and mm-hmm. I read it, and then it flipped back over with like issue 150 or something like that, mm-hmm. picked up the old numbers. And then once the Miles Morales story started, you know, at first I was like, oh, man, Peter Parker died, and the new kid, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Miles Morales was really such a great character, and I really enjoyed that. I said, you know what, it's worth seeing what's going on in these other books. So because of how much I enjoyed Ultimate Spider-Man, I went back and just started picking up the other Ultimate books. Okay. And for the most part, I think probably 90% of the books that they've put out in this new incarnation, I've been happy with. I've really enjoyed the stories.
Cool.
Yeah. I guess I'll go back and
read that somehow.
I wasn't reading any of the Ultimate books, but I started reading the Miles Morales Spider-Man, and that's great. I like the flash forward stuff, and I don't know, it just all seems interesting.
And a lot of it, I mean, I guess probably because I don't read a lot of the mainstream Marvel stuff. I don't read Thor. I don't read Captain America. I don't read Iron Man. So seeing those characters in here, a lot of people complain about how they're different. You know, a lot of people complain that, you know, the characters are treated differently. Thor is a different, you know, type character. Tony Stark in this universe is a completely different character than he is in the regular one. And that bothers a lot of people. But I guess for me, since I don't get that deep in the regular Marvel universe, I like this universe better. I like these characters better because I don't have that same attachment to the old characters in the regular universe that everybody else seems to have.
Okay, cool.
Classic Material says on Twitter, damn it, I read Kick-Ass 3 number 1. Wish I could be there to talk about it. Not much happened. Dave and his friends start slacking off. And Dork Geek says, Thanos is like the cosmic Eazy-E minus the AIDS.
Oh.
Dirt Geekus is funny.
Mercy.
Winter Soldier 19, I did not read.
I read that. It's the final issue in this series of Winter Soldier. It wraps up a lot of the dangling plot lines. There's a little bit of time travel. There's a small time travel element in it. I'm just not happy about that being such a prominent story vehicle nowadays in the Marvel Universe. What else did I have here? I'm sad to see the book end, but we know that Bucky's going to be back soon because he's prominent in the next Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just that the sales of Winter Soldier were so low?
No.
Yes.
No. If I recall correctly, it's definitely higher than a bunch of other titles.
I think that's the reason it's getting canceled. That and She-Hulk and Red She-Hulk and Gambit, their sales were low. Hold on, I've got an article saved somewhere, actually.
I can definitely see that with Red She-Hulk, because who cares? But I know Winter Soldier definitely had his fans, and his fans were very vocal and dedicated. But, you know, a lot of times vocal and dedicated fans are not the masses, and so they don't sell, you know. That's part of the problem.
Because after Brubaker
left, yeah.
I think that's when people might have jumped off the book.
No, I definitely understand that, you know. But you know, in any event, yeah, it's in terms of the Winter Soldier, we know he's going to be back. So, and he's going to play a role in other Avengers books, probably. You know, I'm just disappointed that the series wasn't able to keep going.
One thing that's funny to me is that if you look at the cover is signed by the artist Declan. I don't know who that is, but
Declan Shalvey.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. But it's dated 2012, which means that this was drawn, you know, like 6 months ago. This was probably not drawn as the cover for the finale. This is probably like a rejected cover from earlier on in the series, and they just decided to pull it out of the drawer and go ahead and use it so they don't have to pay for a new piece of art.
Possibly.
That's what jumps out to me about
it. Quite possible.
Okay, I found this article. This is the Marvel month-to-month sales from April 2013. Let me see if I can find Winter Soldier on this list somewhere. It's on my iPad. I wish there was a way to do like a control find. Okay, Winter Soldier. Yeah, back on April 13th, issue number 17 sold 19,000 copies. That's down from number four was in the 33,000.
I think they'd already announced the cancellation at that point, though, so I don't know if that's a fair representation.
Well, I mean, it's gone down each issue's right. Gone down, so like, even at number four when it was at 33, five was at 30, mm-hmm. stayed at 30 from five to six, seven's at 28,000, eight's at 27, 26, 25,
yeah. Four,
yeah, so it's yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was still selling better than some of the DC titles that stay alive.
I mean, that's DC though.
Yeah,
they'll cancel so quick anyway.
It really depends on the kind of corporate overlords and what their decrees are from month to month. Because sometimes whether it be Disney or whether it be Warner Brothers, it just kind of depends on either. Comics have to be profitable because they're an arm of the corporation, or it's just a place to germinate ideas and characters that they can use in other mediums that they can license or
right.
make movies or whatever. So it just kind of depends on who's in charge. I know there was a big shakeup recently at Warner Brothers, and the person in charge of DC now is someone who was there before and then left and has now come back. And when they were there before, they pushed a lot of the digital strategies and some of that kind of stuff. And now that they're back, it seems like DC now made this announcement of the DC squared, whatever that, online stuff that they're doing now. And he's more of one of those guys where it's generating characters and generating ideas that, you know, maybe they can license out. Maybe it's stuff that'll build to, more cartoons, more movies, more, you know, kind of other stuff. So he lets them be more creative and do more stuff, as opposed to looking at sales figures and bottom lines and that kind of stuff. So hopefully that's going to be better for DC in the long run.
Okay. The last Marvel book, it's Factor 257.
Didn't read it. Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Adam Black says, please don't say Dirt Light Ultimatum. Nerd rage boiling. Fuck the flu.
I did not read Ultimatum. Okay. I have not read it at all.
Was that X Factor? Was that the last issue? Oh, no, it's part one of six. Okay.
Yeah. Of six? They're just now starting one of six? I thought this was the final story arc that was taking place.
That's a six-issue story arc.
They're just starting it? You sure that's the cover? Go back.
Yeah, that's the cover. That's it right there. I can
257?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, trust me, I scan all these covers for our online store. Trust me, that's the exact cover of the book that came out this week.
So, yeah, six more issues until X-Factor goes away and then is rebooted, more than likely. That's my guess. They're going to use the X-Factor name and just it'll be a totally different book.
But it'll be the Mighty X-Factor or X-Factor Assemble or...
No, it'll just be X-Factor with...
X-Factor West Coast.
No, oh, yeah, I don't think...
Since we're all talking X-Men stuff, there was an article on Bleeding Cool a couple of days ago about rumored... a hybrid Hellfire Academy, New X-Men, New Mutants, Generation X book that I'll probably, I'm assuming will come out of the Hellfire Academy story arc and Wolverine and the X-Men.
And they're going to call it New Warriors?
That would be cool. New Warriors will be... Just let New Warriors be relaunched. I'll be a happy podcaster.
That's funny. I mean,
yeah, but you know, if they relaunch it, Night Thrasher will be wearing Heelys.
Oh, no. Heelys have long gone, by the wayside, I believe.
Heelys?
Yeah.
Yeah, those shoes with the wheels.
With the wheels in them.
Oh.
Little kids were wearing them not that long ago. But, no, but in terms of this, the Hellfire Club thing, yeah, they're probably going to use that to launch a counter book. To Wolverine and the X-Men, where the Hellfire Club will have their kids. And it will be interesting in the sense that where Generation X was the leader of the former leader of the Hellfire School teaching the X-Men kids, it'll probably have a lot of former X-Men teaching these Hellfire kids. Sorry to you. Bore you, Dirt.
Just wait till Battle to Atom starts this fall. Fuck Infinity. It's all about Battle of the Atom.
It's Trinity War. That's what it's all about this summer.
Oh, mercy.
And villains. I guess that starts in the fall, though. Yeah. And I guess there were some Valiant books this week. Archer and Armstrong 10 and Shadow Man 7. Haven't read
anyone either. Anyone get to that? Anyone?
No.
Although I will say there was a good book from Zenoscope. That came out this... I know. Settle down. Yeah.
Which one was it?
It's called Screwed. And it's basically kind of their take on Frankenstein, except in this version, it's this woman is snatched off the street, and she wakes up in the hospital, and she's been basically cut apart and sewn back together.
Yikes.
And basically, she starts having these visions of... demons and monsters, and she has no idea what happened to her in the meantime. So it's this idea that, you know, she was killed and, you know, dissected and then pieced back together, brought back to life in this Frankenstein type experiment. And now she's, you know, it's like her brain, like she died and I guess went to hell or whatever. And then her brain is trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what is reality and what is, you know, life back on Earth and whatever. And it's actually, it's written in such a way where you don't know, is she crazy or did all of this stuff actually happen to her? Like, did she actually get cut apart and sewn back together? Or was she just in some sort of horrific accident? She's covered in scars. You know what I mean? They don't really make it, I don't think, 100% clear what exactly happened to her. So, but I mean, it was kind of fun. It was a fun book, and I think it's only 4 issues or 6 issues, something like that. So, they definitely have a whole story in mind for it. So I like books like this a lot better knowing that it's a limited number of issues, so they have a whole completed story, as opposed to just something where they're going to just keep on, you know, going forever and ever.
Okay. So there's your Zenoscope review for tonight.
Yeah, there's two different covers. See, so depending on which one you want.
Wow. To get, huh?
Alternate covers have reached the far corners of the comic book world.
And Zenoscope even has their own AR now. So just like Marvel has AR.
Oh, I see it in the bottom corner. I see it. Oh my gosh.
So Marvel doesn't have that AR trademarked?
Nope.
As far as like the name, they can't call it something different?
What does AR stand for?
Augmented reality.
Yep. Oh, okay.
So you take the camera on your phone and look at certain pages, and it makes something pop up on your phone that gives you background or interviews or, you know, whatever.
Right. Can I use the Marvel AR app to see it?
I don't think so. I think you have to get a separate AR app.
Okay. Yeah, AR, from the sound of it, is most likely the invention of somebody else, and Marvel just happened to, you know, be the first comic book company to
Use
of it. So
augmented reality has been around for a while. Right. The last big push for it was when Avatar, the movie, came out. James Cameron, all of his toys came with little like trading card type things that you would set down, and you would use the camera on your computer or your smartphone in order to look at it, and it would make a model, like a 3D model, appear that you could, you know, spin 360 and whatever of the different characters and creatures and vehicles and whatever. So AR is one of those things that it's been a toy for a long time, and now more and more people, kind of like QR codes,
right?
You know, QR codes for a long time, it was like one or two companies were putting these gibberish things up on the screen, and you didn't know what they were. And now it's like you go buy a can of soup, and there's a QR code on the back where you can get
recipes. Free scan, yeah.
Yeah. So AR is the next thing that's kind of turned out like that.
Nice. All right. I think that about does it for the show tonight.
I think so.
I want to thank my panel here, Dirt from PopCultureNetwork.com. And as he, I'm assuming, he's trying to reach down to grab something.
No, I'm just trying to hide.
Oh. And Agent_70 on Twitter. And I'm Tim DOGG or at Tim DOGG98 on Twitter. Go to the theclicknation.com and you can see this podcast and previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, Click Nation podcast, comic book reviews and previews. I want to thank you all for joining, and thanks people for watching live. Dork Geekus, Adam Black,
Classic is out there somewhere.
Yeah, Classic somewhere. William B. West might have been watching, not sure. But thank you all for tuning in, and we are signing off.
Peace. Valiant Dark One! What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo! I'm steady tripping over them pages, some dog and Adam Black. No! Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee. Don't give a, as long as them pages are hot, and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore.